Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome. This is Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth Ministries, and I am your host, Elder Lydia. It is so good to have you with me once again for our 2019 series, He Makes All Things New. Now, I am very excited today and very honored because I have with me my anointed sister, Pastor Mary Taylor of Anointed Healing and Deliverance Ministries. I hope you have a hold of your seat, have your Bibles in your hand, and something to write with to take notes, because we already know that the Lord is always speaking, and He has His servant ready to deliver a word to us. Oh, my God, this is going to be good. We give the Lord honor and we give Him praise today as we gather together, amen, to bring forth the woman of God. Amen. I have a scripture that I wanted to read, Isaiah 25:1. It says, O Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name, for You have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Faithfulness, glory to God, in the Hebrew is emunah, emunah. And it means firmness, fidelity, steadiness. It means that He will never waver. He's incapable of wavering. Yes. The Lord is always faithful. Faithfulness is His name. Glory to God. Amen. Truth, faithfulness, and truth, the scripture says. Yes. The word truth in the Hebrew is oman. It's oman. And it means verity or truth. Another scripture says that He is not a man that He should lie. It means that He is incapable of telling a lie. He's incapable. It's not a part of His character. He cannot because it's just not present in His character. So although others have failed us, God cannot fail. He will always be faithful, and He will always be true. Glory to God. I'm going to repeat the scripture one more time. Isaiah 25:1, it says, Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. To exalt Him is the word room, and that is being spoken in with my American accent. With theirs, that R is trilled. Amen. But it means I will lift You up. It means to be lifted up or set on high. And amen, we are lifting up the Spirit of the Lord today. Amen. We are setting the Spirit of the Lord on high today in our hearts, in our minds right now, that the Spirit of the Lord might have His way in the midst of us.
Yes,
oh, Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name, for You have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Isaiah 25:1. Let's pray. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before You as humbly as we know how, giving glory to Lord, to all of Your character, to all that You are. Faithful, You are true, You are righteous, You are sovereign, You are majestic, You are our God, You are the great I am, the self-existent one. You have all power, You're all-seeing and all-knowing and present in every place, all at the same time. We honor You, O God. We honor You, Lord God, for the grace that You've given to each and every one of us, Your unmerited favor. You looked upon us and You pitied us and You saved us and You brought us up and You brought us out, and we have been able to loose the chains and the bounds of the enemy that would have held us captive. Oh, but Jesus, You came forth through 40 and two generations, and You brought us out of that captivity that would have held us forever. Oh, Lord, but You love us. Glory to God, You love us with a love that has no conditions, no boundaries, no borders, no limits. No, none of those things. Oh, Lord God, move in us today, Lord God. See each and every need of every person, Lord, that is listening. See the needs, Lord God, of the speaker on today. See the needs of the host on today, and move, Lord God, in our lives. You are our God, and we will and we are exalting You, Lord God, above all things. Above all things under the earth, we exalt You, oh God, because there is no limit for what you can do and what you have done already, Lord. We magnify your name even for this word that is coming forward today. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you if it's chastisement. We thank you, Lord God, because those that you love, you chastise, you correct us. Lord, we thank you for correction in the name of Jesus. If it's a blessing, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, because you bless us every day, every hour. It is a blessing. We do not have control even the beat of our hearts. Lord, you control all those things. And we praise you, Lord God, because every day, every moment that we spend in your presence is a blessing already. Lord, we give you honor, we give you praise, and we give you glory for the things that you've done already and for that you are about to do. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God again. Yeah. Amen. Here we are. Glory to God. And we are in our subtopic, Chasing Hard After God. Amen. With our speaker, Pastor Mary Taylor. She is of Anointed Healing and Deliverance Ministry. She is the pastor there. Amen. Where the work of the Lord is going on. God is moving mightily. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the next voice that you hear will be hers. God bless you, Pastor Mary Taylor.
God bless you, Pastor Lydia Johnson. First, give an honor to God, who is the head of my life. Then give an honor to Pastor Lydia Johnson for allowing me to come on this session today to be a partaker of the word of God. Then to Pastor Sylvia Ingram. I'd like to thank God for her taking me under her wings, for her helping me and allowing me. And then I would just like to say to God be the glory for the great things that he has done, for the great things that he's going to do, for his marvelous works, for him just being God all by himself. And then we will go into our word today. And with my topic today would be chasing after God, following after God. And I'm coming from 1 Samuel 13 and 14, talking about David. We're going to talk about David because he had the heart of God.
Amen.
He wanted God more than he wanted anything. So we're going to talk a little bit about David's life. We're going to talk about what type of a man he was and how God saw fit and knew that he was going to be the king. Amen. So we're going to talk about this, but I'm going to give you a little background about David. David's life started out very gloomy, yet hopeless. The Bible talks about David's abandonment. David was abandoned. He had seven brothers. But he was left alone.
Mm-hmm.
So he started off in abandonment. And the Psalms, when all he had was God. That's all David knew was God, because he was left by himself to till the field, to take care of the land, while the brothers and the mother and the fathers were doing everything. All David knew was God.
Thank you,
so
Jesus.
He had to pursue after God, because that's all he knew. He
all
didn't
right.
know the things that, he didn't know the things that his brothers knew. He didn't have the nice things that his brothers did, because he was left alone.
Yeah.
He relied totally on God from his birth. He was hidden in the field as a shepherd boy, just like Jesus was the shepherd. David was hidden as the shepherd boy. Even though he was a part of the family, even though he was their son, they still hid him as the shepherd boy. They allowed him to do all the dirty work.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he did everything that he was told to do. But even in that, he didn't get angry. He just did what he was told to do. He was learning obedience through the things that he suffered. He was learning that I might be alone, but I'm not alone because I'm still with God. He was learning that he had this time to spend with God all by himself. He didn't have no distractions. So he had the time to follow after God. He had the time to chase after God at a young age, because he was in the fields with nothing but the animals. He was in the fields tilling the land. So all he had was God. David was the eighth son of Jesse. He was anointed by Prophet Samuel after the seventh brother was pursued first. See, they went through all the other brothers first. Just because he was the last one don't mean that he was not the anointed one. They brought forth all the first seven brothers. Oh, this one would work. Oh, this one be the king. Oh, he would be a great king. Oh, no, he would be a great king. But none of those seven brothers was the one that God had for to become the king of Israel. It wasn't until he seen David that he knew that David was going to be the king. So Samuel asked, he said, wait a minute. Is there anyone else? Is there yet another son? So they went to the field and they bought for David.
Mm-hmm.
And he was ruddy and handsome and had beautiful eyes.
Yes.
That's who God was looking for.
Amen.
Samuel said, that's the one that I'm looking for right there. He said, that's the one that God is looking for. That's the one that has the heart of God. He's not concerned about what the men are concerned about. He's not concerned about what Saul was concerned about. David was concerned about fulfilling the will of God. David was concerned about going after everything that God had for him. David was consumed about doing the things of God. But Saul, he was disobedient. Saul, he did what he wanted to do. He disobeyed God. The brothers, they did what they wanted to. They didn't have the heart that David had. See, men look at the outer appearance.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, I look at the heart of man. And he knew the heart of David. He knew that David had the heart after him. He knew that David was going to mess up. David did his wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew that David's heart was pure.
That's right.
David was seeking after the things of God. He wasn't seeking for fame. He wasn't seeking for the titles. He wasn't seeking to be the head or not the tail. David was seeking for the things of God. He was chasing after God. God, whatever you want me to do. God, wherever you want me to go. God, I want to sit at your feet, God. I want to learn more of you, God. I want to be about you. See, that's the heart that David had.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
That's not the, and see, we as men, we look at the outer appearance. Well, or how people can speak eloquently, or how can talk, or how people look. And we was, oh, well, he's going to be the next king, or she's going to be the next prophetess, or she's going to be the next pastor. But having checked out the heart of man, look at the heart. Is the heart right? Is the heart pure? Are they going to seek and search the things of God? Are they going to study the word of God to make themselves available to the will of God? Or are we just going to seek what man has, the approval of man? David wasn't looking for approval of man. David was looking for the approval of God. David wanted what God wanted. David wanted to be at the foot of God. David wanted more of what God wanted than what David wanted for himself.
Yes, Jesus.
So
hallelujah.
David was seeking. He was pursuing. He was following after God. He was following after the things that God had for him.
Thank you, Lord.
God was looking for a man after his own heart. Saul's heart was after Israel. He was all about prestigious, vain images and things,
people
to look at. That's what Saul's heart was about. It wasn't after God. He was more concerned about what people thought about him or what, putting himself up on a pedestal.
But
God wanted someone else. God could care less about Israel because God knew about Israel. God knew what was going to happen in Israel anyway. But Saul didn't care. All Saul seen was, I'm the king. I'm going to rule over this city. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And people are going to call me king, the king. People are going to call me King Saul. But that's not what God wanted.
Right.
God said, I want someone that's going to put me, that's going to honor me. Somebody that's going to say, I'm just a servant of my God. I'm following after God. I'm nothing without God.
Amen.
And he knew that David was that man because David was not putting himself on a pedestal. David knew that he was just a mere man. David knew that he would have sinned and come short of the glory. David knew that he was not perfect. So he wanted to be with the man that was perfect. He wanted to follow the man that was perfect, which was Jesus. He wanted to chase after God. He wanted to follow God. And God wanted someone who was close, who was chasing after him, a man after his own heart. That's what God was looking for. God was looking for the David. Are you a David? Are you seeking after the things of God, or are you seeking after the fruit of man?
Jesus.
Is your heart like David? Are you honoring God, or are you honoring man? Are you putting yourself up on a pedestal, or are you raising up, lifting up the name of Jesus?
Oh, Jesus.
Do you have the heart of Saul, or do you have the heart of David?
All right.
Are you going to chase after fame, or are you going to chase after God?
Help us, Lord. Jesus.
David was a man that honored God.
Yes, he was.
David honored God so much.
Jesus.
That whatever David sinned and came short of the glory, David fell on his face and he repented.
Thank you, Lord.
He fell and he said, God, forgive me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew within me the right spirit of God. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Because I honor the God, I honor you, God. I'm just a mere man. I'm going to sin, God. I'm going to come short, God. But I'm coming to you, God, because you are the creator. You can create in me a clean heart. I can't do nothing.
Jeez.
So David honored God.
Yes, he did.
He honored him with his whole being.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to honor him with our whole being.
Amen.
It's not about our sins, because we all know we're sin. We sin and come short of the glory. But are you going to repent when you fall on your face? Are you going to get haughty? Are you going to say, oh, well, that's natural. Oh, well, God forgive me. And fall under that sloppy grace. But are you going to repent and turn away from that? David repented and he turned. He didn't go back and fall into that same sin. He turned because he had a heart after God.
Thank you, Lord.
He was chasing after God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Saul was more concerned with his will than God's will. See, Saul, he didn't care about what God wanted. Saul was more concerned about the will of Saul. Well, I sinned, so God is going to forgive me, so I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. I'm still going to be disobedient. I'm still going to do this. But David's heart was pure. David was right with God.
Thank you.
It's something that you think about when I was reading this and studying this, and I got to think about it. So I want to, do we really have the heart of David? Are we really seeking to do the things the way God wants us to do and chase after the things of God? Are we staying in that Saul spirit, that's the heart of Saul?
My
God.
We
have to come out of ourselves. David came out of himself.
That's right.
And he became, and he took on the nature of Christ. So we have to be like David and take on the nature of Christ and come out of self. As long as we stay in our self-will, we'll never have the heart of David. And God is looking for the heart of David. God is looking for us to come out of ourselves. Stop seeing things the way that we see things and start seeing things the way that God sees things. Start searching out his word and seeing the things that what his words and then following his word. It's not about us, but it's about the things that God has. Are we going to seek his face? Are we going to search his word? Are we going to study to show ourselves or prove? Or are we just going to stay in the state that we're in?
Jesus. Help, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Jesus.
David knew God's will was most important. Even when David didn't do God's will, he still knew God's will was more important.
That's right.
Even though when he did mess up, he still knew the importance of the will of God. He still followed the word of God. I messed up, God. I repented. But God, I know your word is more important. I know your will is more important than my will. So God, I come before you, and I come repentant. I come with a repentant heart, God. I come with a repentant spirit, God. God, help me, God, in my weakness, God. I committed a sin. I committed adultery in my weakness, God. Forgive me.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
I murdered in my weakness, God. Forgive me. I lied in my weakness, God. Forgive me. Whatever your weakness may be, we have to repent. But Saul, he just sinned out of disregard to God. He just disregarded everything that God stood for. David didn't disregard what God stood for. He fell into weakness, and that's what we do. Some of us do. We fall into weaknesses, and we repent. Some of us just disregard because we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it.
Lord, help us.
You have to distinguish whether I'm falling into the weakness or whether I'm totally disobeying the will of God. There's
Amen.
A difference. I can disregard God and really, really, really be into sin. And I can fall into weakness, which is a sin, but I didn't deliberately set out to do what I did.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. Know the difference between a weakness and a sin. Know when you're disregarding, know when you're deliberately doing something, and when you're falling into weaknesses. And we both have to repent, and we both are in sin, but God honors the fact that you are more open to saying, God, it's still about your will. It's not about me, but it's about you, God. I'm seeking you. I'm seeking to do the right thing because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and none of us are perfect.
That's right.
But when we do fall into that sin, repent, get up, turn from it.
Yeah.
To not go back into it.
Amen.
Just like David did. He cried out unto the Lord. He cried out to God.
Yes, he did. Yes,
God,
he did.
Forgive me.
Oh,
he didn't
Lord.
Just say, God, forgive me, but he cried out. He lay prostrate on the floor. He always came up with a new song, a new psalm, every time he did something because his heart was right. He honored God. He honored the God in him. He honored God in nothing because God chose him to be king over Israel. So if God's going to choose me, and if God sees something in me, then I'm going to honor God. I'm going to obey the will of God the best that I know how.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And that's what David did. But Saul, on the other hand, he just disregarded everything that God stood for because he had got haughty. He forgot about who his God was. He forgot about who created him. He wanted the fame. He wanted the title. He wanted to be the king of Israel. He wanted to kill the thousands. He wanted to kill all those that David killed.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't because he disobeyed the man, the creator of his life, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He disobeyed God, and not only that, he downplayed who God was. He put
That's
himself
right.
over God.
My
and
Lord.
No man, woman, boy, child, is over God. There's only one God.
That's right.
And that's
Jesus. Right.
You cannot do nothing without God. You are nothing or nobody without God. But he forgot that. Saul forgot who he was. But David always kept in the forefront of who he was and whose he was. He knew that he belonged unto God. He knew that he was a servant of God. He knew that he had to honor his creator. He knew that he had to honor his maker. He knew that he had to honor his master because God was the one who created him. And while he was a boy, he learned all of these things while in the field.
Yes.
Sometimes that's why we got to walk alone, because when you walk alone, you have a closer relationship with God. It brings you into who God really wants you to be, and it brings you into who you are in God. Because there's nobody but you and God, and you have nobody else to rely on but God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And that's what happened with David. He had no one to rely on but God. So in that time, in that personal relationship with God and David, that he began to build, he began to learn of God, he began to walk like God, he began to talk like God, he began to hear the voice of God. So the voice of God he knew.
Yes.
Because she had all this time as a child to walk with him, to learn of him, to hear his voice. Ooh, David was a man after God's heart and throne.
Yeah.
A man after God's heart and throne, God as king for Saul.
Thank you, Lord.
He had the heart and throne.
Yes.
Saul was king for David. The Lord God was king. The Lord God was king. Both David and Saul knew sacrifice before a battle was imparted. But David thought it was important because it pleased and honored God.
Yeah.
Everything that David did, if it didn't please God, if it didn't honor God, David didn't want to be a part of it.
That's
because
right.
he knew his mission was to honor God. He knew his mission was to please God. He knew that his walk was to honor and please God. So that's what he wanted to do.
Yes.
And Saul just thought that, hey, it's important because of I want to win the battle. He didn't care about pleasing God. He didn't care about honoring God. He just wanted to win the battle because he wanted the prestigious title.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted them to sing about him. Saul did. That's all Saul wanted. He could care less about what God wanted. He could care less. And he wanted to use God to achieve that he would win the battle. He didn't really want God. He didn't really want to honor God. He didn't really want to please God. He just wanted God to help him to win the battle.
Amen.
No, that's not what God for. God, we can't tempt God. We
that's
can't
right.
use God for our that's selfish not. Gain.
No, we cannot.
Saul used God for his selfish gain, for what he wanted. On the other hand, David just, hey, God, whatever your will is.
Yeah.
If I win, okay. If I don't, okay. But God, I'm doing it to the glory of you. God, I'm doing it to honor you. God, I'm doing it, Father God, because I love you. God, I'm doing it because I'm seeking you. God, I'm doing it because I'm chasing after you. God, I'm doing it, God, because this is the will of you. I don't mind. I'm not even in it, God. It's all about you. David always kept himself in the back. He always wanted to stay in the back, but Saul always wanted to be in the front. Saul just wanted to, it was all about Saul. So again, what heart do you have? Do you have the heart of David or do you have the heart of Saul? We have to train our minds up to have the heart of David, to seek after the things of God. Even when we come short, repent, turn, and then go back into the Word of God and learn more of the Word of God so that you won't continue to make the same mistakes. And it's not about our prestigious. It's not about our titles. It's not about who we are, but it's about who God is in us. When people see us, they should see the God in us. They shouldn't see Pastor Mary Taylor, but they should see the God in Pastor Mary Taylor. When I speak, I should speak as the things of God. When I come across someone, they should see the God in me.
Yes.
They should say there's something about her that I want to know. That's how we win souls to Christ, because they see the God in you. They see that you're searching after the things of God. They see that you're seeking after the things of God. They're not looking at the outer, but they're looking at the inner, because God looks at the heart. Only foolish men would look at the outer and say foolish things because they can't see with the heart of God. They can't see with the eyes of God. They can't see what's on the inside of you because they're not looking with the eyes of God. And they're looking at your outer appearance, but they're missing what God has for them. They're missing the fact that God has something for them through that little scrawny little person, through that person that you think is nobody, through that person that you think don't have enough word in them, to that person that you think that's just sitting on the back pew. That's the one that God is going to use.
Yes.
That
thank
homeless
you.
Man, that bum on the street, that prostitute that you don't think that has a word on the inside of her, but being her up in the church, and she has the heart of God, but because you can't look outside of what she looks like or outside of what she's done, you don't give her a second chance.
Jesus.
But if that was the case, David would have never been king of Israel. Because
That's
they
right.
hid him.
Yeah.
But God had another plan for David's life.
Glory
God
to
said, God. The one I had, y'all got on the back burner. The one y'all got hid back there. That's going to be the king of Israel. That's the one that has my heart. That's the one that is chasing after me. That's the one that spent countless hours with me, countless days with me, just speaking my faith, chasing me, running after me. God, I want more of you, more of you, more of you, more of you, more of you. That's the one that I want.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
David was a man after God's heart. A man after God's heart has a self-repentant heart.
Yeah.
If you have the heart of God, you have yourself. You have compassion. You have love. You're gentle. You're meek. You're humble. That's the type of spirit that David had.
Yeah.
He was very humble. Self. He had a repentant heart. Very
Amen.
Repentant. And when you Amen. Read the scriptures in Psalms, you see all through the Psalms how David cried out unto God.
Yeah.
He always
Amen.
Had a repentant heart. Whenever he did something wrong or whenever he was just laying before God and God gave him a psalm, he always had a word in it of encouragement. I'm telling you, this is what you need to do to seek after the things of God. This is what's going to take you to the place. This is where you need to be. Because he had the revelation from God.
Yes.
God gave
Amen.
It to him because he had that repentant heart and he had a soft heart. Well, Saul was confronted with his sin. He offered excuses. How
That's
many of
right.
us always got an excuse when God tells us that we have come short of the glory of God? When God tells us we have sinned, we always got to make an excuse. Instead of saying, okay, God, forgive me, for I have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Please, God, create in me a clean heart. Please, God, renew within me that right spirit, God. Please, God, just show me where my weakness is. Show me where I'm going wrong, God. And that's all God's saying. Don't make excuses.
That's
we don't
right.
need to make. God knows our heart.
That's right.
God knows why we've done why we do. So why are
mm-hmm.
we going to make excuses to God when he already knows?
That's right.
All he wants us to do is repent.
Yeah.
And then get up. And then turn away from it. And then
yes.
go forward and continue to seek after him.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And says, when David was confronted with his sin, what did he do? He first confessed his sin.
Yes.
He first confessed, God, I have sinned. I've come short, God. And then after he confessed, then he repented. 2 Samuel 12 and 13. So he had the key. When are we going to get the key? Confess your sin.
Yeah.
That's the first thing we got to do. Confess. You don't have to confess to man. You can confess to God. It's because sometimes ain't nobody, look, God, I messed up.
Yeah.
God, I did it again. Please forgive me.
Oh, forgive us, Jesus.
And then go forth and go on.
Yeah.
Because God has already forgiven us. He just wants to see what we're going to do. Are you confess that you made it, that you messed up? Or are you going to just hold on to it and let it eat you up? You can either confess it and move on, or you can allow it to eat you up. And guilt, condemnation destroys you because you won't confess. Because you messed up. You made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
We all make mistakes. We all mess
yeah,
up. So
certainly.
What he says, confess it, repent, and move forward. Don't hold on to it because God has already thrown it into the sea of forgiveness.
Thank you, Lord.
Just let it be gone.
Thank you, Lord.
Just let it be gone.
You,
a man after God's heart loves other people. If you after God's heart, you're going to love even the worst. You're going to love your enemies. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. When someone has hurt you, when somebody has disgraced you, you talking about love it? God, I can't love that person. Do you know what they did? A, B, Z, A through Z to me? And you telling me to love them? God said yes. Because that's
yes.
the heart of God.
Yes,
he didn't
is.
Say you had to be their friends again. It didn't say you have to socialize with them, but it says you have to love them.
Yes.
Why?
Lord.
Because God is love. And how
Amen.
Can I say I love God and hate my brother?
That's right.
Even though they That's did right. me wrong, I still gotta love them. I can love them from a distance.
Amen.
But I don't have to. They don't have to be in my circle. But I gotta love them because that's a commandment of God that you love one another.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
So we have to love. David loved in spite of, because he had the heart of God. He knew that in order to go where he needed to be in God, that he had to love even his enemies. What did Saul do? Saul became bitter against people and lived more and more unto himself.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what happens when we don't forgive.
That's right.
We become bitter.
We
become to ourselves because we have allowed people that has hurt us to have control over our life. And that's what happens when we don't forgive. Those people have control over our life. But if we forgive them, love them, and move on, they no longer have control over your life.
That's right.
But Saul, he became so bitter. But when David, when he was down, when he was out, when he was up, he still loved the people. He still had love for the people. In
Amen.
Spite of what they'd done to him, in spite of what he was going through, in spite of what's coming his way, he still had love for the people. Why? Because he had the heart of God. Again, whose heart are you searching after? Do you want David's heart or do you want Saul's heart? I choose today to have the heart of David.
Amen.
I choose today that I'm going to follow hard after God. I choose today that I'm going to seek and search God like David did. In my alone time, I'm going to read his word. In my alone time, I'm going to pray and fast. In my alone time, I'm just going to sit at the feet of Jesus so that he can pour more of himself in me so that I can be more like God, so that I can just do as God says to, so that as God speaks, I'll hear his voice and know his voice. That's how David came to the place where he was at.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
And see, God sought for himself a man after his own heart. God sought out David.
Yes, he did.
Because he wanted somebody that was going to do the things that he was doing. He wanted somebody to be like him.
Yeah.
He wanted somebody that no matter what they was going to go through, they was not going to, their heart was not going to turn bitter. They was not going to have that stony heart. But they was going to have that heart that was going to be molded, that heart that he could use. And that's why God sought out David.
Thank you, Lord.
Because he needed a man after his own heart, because he knew that he was going to go back to the Father. He knew that I needed somebody here to be an example so that people would know no matter what you go through in your life, you still have to have the heart of David. You still have to have the heart of God.
Amen.
Because God, we are as God. We are his children. He created us in his image.
Yes.
So we have to have that heart. We have to be moldable. We have to have love. We have to have a repentant heart. We have to seek after the things of God. We have to honor God. We have to be enthroned, have God enthroned in our heart. We have
Thank
to if we want to be like God.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
And at this time, David was a boy. He wasn't even a full-grown man at that time.
That's right.
He was a boy. But even it goes to show, even in his heart of heart as a young man, he still had the heart of God. He still wanted to do the things that God wanted him to do.
Hallelujah.
So the young man was able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we as older saints of God the will of God? Regardless and forgetting all those things that are behind us. Forgetting all the things that are behind us and pressing towards the mark to the high calling. We're in the place now in our life that we got to press. We got to seek the face of God like never before. And that means chasing after him. That means running after him. That means following after God. because this is where we are at in this time and season of our life, that we got to seek the face of God more and more.
Yes.
He said, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways,
mm-hmm,
and seek his face.
Yeah.
He said, then I'm going to heal the land. But until we turn from our wicked ways, till we get the heart of God,
yeah,
till we do what God has called us to do,
yeah,
that God said he can't heal the land.
Jesus, help us, Lord.
That's why so much is going on in the land today,
help
because
us,
we're
Jesus.
Not being what God has called us to be.
Help us, Lord.
David Jesus. Was not concerned about appearing godly. He was concerned about knowing God. You know, so many times we want to just be godly. The religious spirit, oh, I'm so godly. Oh, I'm so holier than thou. Oh, I know this and I know this and I'm here, and put themselves up on a pedestal. But David was not that type of a person.
That's right.
David was concerned about knowing who God was.
And honoring him, yes, that's true.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
David focused on God.
He did.
He didn't focus on anything else. His focus was on God. And because his focus was on God, that caused him to be where he needed to be at the time that he needed to be in that field, so that he become the king of Israel, because his focus was always on God. And even when he became the king of Israel, his focus was still on God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He didn't lose focus. He fell short, but he didn't lose focus, because even when he sinned, he repented.
That's right.
Even when he made a mistake, he still repented, and his focus still was on what God has called me to do.
Amen.
David saw past himself. He saw past his circumstances. How
mm-hmm.
many of us can see past our circumstances?
Well,
we get in a jam and we lose it.
Mm-hmm. It's
something
true.
Happens to us and we forget whose we are, because all
uh-huh.
we can see is the circumstances right before us.
That's true.
We can't see that God is in control. We can't see that God allowed this to happen. We can't see that God said, okay, stay focused. Don't look at the circumstances. It's just a circumstance. It's just a situation. But I got it in control. I'm fighting your battle for you. Stay focused on me. But we can't see that.
Mm-hmm.
As we know the life of David, he was an adulteress, he was a murderer. His life is just like our life.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow. But David was the apple of God's eye.
Yes, yes, yes.
In spite of all that he went through, he still was the apple of God's eye. Why? Because mm-hmm. he chased after God. Why? Because he knew his place in God. Why? Because he stayed and honored and obeyed God. And that's all God is wanting us to do. God just wants us to stay focused. He wants us to honor him. He wants us to repent when we come short of the glory of God. He wants us to love on him. He wants us to stay in our place. He wants us to know that he is in control of our circumstances. He wants us to know that he's in control of our life. He wants us to know that he is still God all by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He did not let his sins hinder him. But he moved
That's right.
forward.
Yes, he did.
He just got up. David was a man after God's own heart. When you read the book of Psalms, David's life and his prayers fulfilled God's word. Was God's word.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It was filled with nothing but God's word. David
That's right.
did everything that God wanted him to do, and his shortcomings and his failures. David still was the apple of God's heart. David
Amen.
Still followed after God. David was a man that honored and loved God with his whole heart. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, God. God is a good God. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, God, because this put a whole new perspective on David and Saul. It makes me look even at David even the more because of what he went through.
Mm-hmm.
And how he still stayed focused on God, how he still served God in his shortcomings, how he still, his mind was still honoring God, his mind was still on the things of God. So this
mm-hmm.
just puts a new perspective in my life on the life of David.
Amen.
So
thank you.
Thank God for that. Thank God. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your broadcast. May God continue
Amen.
To bless you.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
Back over to your hands.
All right, we give glory and honor to the Lord. Amen. And we praise God for Pastor Taylor on today. Amen. David, glory to God. We know from the top of this series, Chasing Heart After God, we were talking about David, and much of it is fashioned after his life. Amen. And we glorify God for this word, amen, that brought that on home for us today. Because the Lord is the one who sought after a man after his heart, and that man was David. And he always remembered who he was, a servant of God, and who he was.
Yeah.
He belonged to the true and the living God, and he always recognized that. And even when he was going out to battle, he would ask the Lord, Lord, is this a battle we should fight? Should we fight, or should I go, or should I not go? Should I go, or should I stay? And the Lord would give him the answer, and David would do whatever the Lord told him to do. Amen.
Yeah.
This was a word that we needed today, because we do need to have that same heart that David had. Amen. And it's one, a prayer that I have prayed since I was, I mean, before I was a teenager. When I was reading the word as a young child, I would go up to my room by myself and just read the word and pray and ask God about my own life. And the one thing I found in the word is where the Lord said that David was a servant after his own heart. And so I asked the Lord, Lord, that's what I want. That's what I want to be. I want to be a servant after your own heart. And so I continue to pray that even to this day, from a child to this year in my life, I'm praying that, and I'm praying that for all of us. Amen.
Yes.
That we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might make us, even as David was, a servant after his heart. Thank you so much, Pastor Taylor. I
praise
appreciate
God.
You so much. You are such a mighty, anointed woman of God. I praise God for all of your gifts, all of your talents, and your willingness to come on to the broadcast today. I am going to ask one more thing of you. I mean, that you might pray over the listening audience today before
yes.
we do.
Thank you, Jesus, Father. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this day, God. Father God, for this is your day, God. You created this day just for us, Father God. You gave us another chance to come into this time, Father God, to get it right with you, Father God. Father God, we ask right now, Father God, for your listening audience, Father God. Father God, that they hear your word, Father God. Hear what you're saying to them this day, Father God. Father God, and that their life will become better after this day, Father God. And no matter what they're going through in their life, no matter what they went through in their life, God, that you are a forgiving God. You have already forgiven them, Father God, that they can pick themselves back up, God, and they can walk according to your will, Father God. They, Father God, can just follow hard after you, Father God. They can seek you and have the heart of David, Father God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak life over every person that's on this line, Father God. I speak peace. I speak your joy. I speak long-suffering into their life. Father God, your healing virtue power run through the person that's on this line right now, Father God, that is going through some sickness in their body, God. Father God, I speak healing right now in the name of Jesus, Father God. I speak peace, Father God. I speak, Father God, salvation, Father God. Father God, your will be done in each and every person's life that's on this line, God. Your will be done, God. Father God, show them where they're at, Father God. Father God, then push them into their destiny. Father God, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, and it is so. And we magnify your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. God keep you, and God strengthen you in the mighty name of Jesus. Until next time, amen. Just keep praising God. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Yeah.